everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. And if you want to have a priceless experience, then you'll stay tuned to Mega Powers Radio. And remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
What's shaking, Mega Maniacs? It is Monday, December 7th, and we just finished watching Raw, and it's time for us to gather for the Monday night tradition, the most interactive post-Raw experience available, the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio. If this is your first time listening to us, thank you for joining us. We don't just call ourselves the most interactive post-Raw experience available for no reason. We are going to be inviting you to join us all throughout the show with your thoughts about Raw, your questions to us, pretty much whatever the heck is on your mind. We're going to be talking about not a very good edition of Raw. And this has been in a string of bad editions of Raw. And it is not just us. This is a massive opinion that's gone on nationwide, beyond nationwide, I should say. It seems like it's affecting their ratings. Every single reviewer or critic or whatever you want to call a person is just completely bashing Raw right now. People are tuning out in droves. That includes casual fans, that includes longtime fans. It just doesn't seem like they're doing a lot of things right. And despite that, it seems like nothing is changing. It seems like we're getting the same drab show every week, and this has left all of us very sour. There's nothing New Day can do. We are sour. So let me apologize to everyone if that's something that comes off this episode. We're very sour. We end up one of those episodes where we don't even talk very much about Raw, so maybe we'll make it fun in the end. But we are going to be tearing Raw to shreds tonight, so just be forewarned with that. If you enjoy it, though, you can support this show in a number of ways. Number one way is finding us on Patreon. That's patreon.com/megapowersradio, where you can subscribe to donate to us for as little as $1 a month. You can help keep the lights on here at Mega Powers Radio. With that, I should give a shout out to the folks who have donated generously this month. That is Awesome Piano Man, one of our longest time fans, and Caleb Wiggins, who is also a contributor for the smarkoutmoment.com website. Thank you to both of them for contributing generously to helping keep Mega Powers Radio bringing you all the shows that we do. If you give an amount of $5 or greater a month, I will give you a shout out just like them on this very show here. So go ahead and do that and get yourself right at the top of the show here. Also, you can support us by joining us live every single Monday here at MegaPowersRadio.com or tune into the archive show. It's on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, YouTube, TuneIn Radio. We're pretty much anywhere podcasts are found. Easily find links to that on that same website I said before, SmarkoutMoment.com. And let's start talking about Raw. We're going to get that kicked off with the panelists here. Let me introduce everyone. My name is Mike Payton, station director here at MegaPowersRadio.com. With me tonight, first off, is the main man of the aforementioned SmarkoutMoment.com, Tony Mango.
How's it going, everybody? You all awake? I'm not.
Are you sleep talking again? Sleep reviewing?
Very much so.
Probably not the first podcast you did while you were asleep. Also with me is a regular here on the Raw Post Show and the Smack Talk Podcast, Mr. Steven Hoego.
What up, Tater Tot?
Funny you say that, because we have our very own resident Tater Tot, Tater Tot.
Well, I said that you played that perfectly, so you knew I'd have to reply to it. But I will like to say, you call this a Raw Post Show. I call this the Donnie Knows Best During Show.
Is it actually called Donnie Knows Best?
No, it's just Donnie.
Because it used to be Chrisley Knows Best. we had to rebrand while they changed shows.
Maybe we should be the Raw Rehab Show at this point.
Is it Chrisley Knows Donnie?
That's actually a pretty good name. the Raw Rehab Show. If this keeps up, I might highly consider rebranding to that. Fellas, I'd like to start things off here by asking you what the number one thing we took away from this show tonight. Tony, why don't you start us off with that?
That's what I took away.
Very excellent analysis, I must say.
Yeah, I pretty much spent this whole Raw going, huh, and then going back to doing whatever I was working on. Yeah, this sucked.
Steven Wago, what's on your mind after the show?
Well, I had some great cookies during the show. I mean, there were several.
Were they chocolate chip?
Yeah, they were.
Oh, dude, you better keep them away from Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
But so, like, I spent a couple of segments going out and making them and another segment eating them. So that was awesome. That was, like, probably the highlight of the night. At some point, I think I saw Zeb Coulter and Del Rio break up. That was kind of nice. That was about it.
We're going to get to that. That was an unintentionally hilarious segment. Drew, what are you feeling after the show?
I'm feeling terrible. Definitely not at my highest, definitely at my lowest. And this show was the absolute drizzling shit.
Let's pull some comments out of our chat room here. By the way, shout out to the folks who got into the Blog Talk Radio chat room nice and early. We got Wazili, Silent Wind of Doom, already in the chat. Kenneth, Cade, and Caitlin Ferris. Let's pull some comments out of here. Silent Wind of Doom saying this was a terrible Raw. Kenneth Cade asks, I haven't watched NXT in a while. How is that show doing? If we run out of stuff to talk about, I may actually give a quick review of NXT this week. I actually caught the show just a little bit before I went into work this morning, so it's still pretty fresh in my mind, and I actually have some thoughts about that show. All right, so talking about Raw first. I mentioned I thought about putting something like this together, and I decided to start this off this week. And what I'm basically going to make is a running list of the things happening on Raw that piss me off. So we want to try to analyze what's wrong on this show, what's making people tune out. So this isn't going to be a complete list tonight. I'm sure there's a lot of things I missed, and I'm going to try not to repeat myself too much, so I'm going to get a lot of the obvious ones out this week. But I want to just bring each one of these things up I have on this list, just bounce them off you guys, and see how this starts.
Well, first off, the lighting's terrible.
Okay, so
slow down there, Wago.
Top of the things that I have here on the list of things that piss me off: the show is too goddamn long.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely. I cannot disagree at all.
3 hours is just ridiculously long. It's fine for a special when you're actually doing something special. When you have the Slammy Awards there and it feels like you're needing this extra time. When they did, like, the old school Raw and they were bringing all these extra gimmicks, it's like, oh man, I don't want the show to end because there's all this cool stuff going on. It's worth having that extra hour. When it's there every week, you're just struggling to fill that sometimes. And the crazy thing is their roster is short right now, and they're repeating using so many guys through so many segments right now that it's making it that much worse that we're having to watch it for this long.
Yeah, it's very noticeable when guys are pulling double duty. That should never really be happening. We talk about an overexposure in pro wrestling. This 3 hours is the very definition of that.
Now, you know, it's funny that you brought that up, because actually this is something that I took note of during the show tonight, and I started writing down. I went on WWE's roster list. All the people that weren't injured were like John Cena, who's busy doing stuff elsewhere. These are the people that could have wrestled instead of having people do double duty. Big Show, Bo Dallas, Curtis Axel, Damian Sandow, Darren Young, Fandango, Goldust, both of Los Matadores, both of the Ascension, Heath Slater, R-Truth, Neville, who didn't wrestle, or if he did, I didn't pay attention to it, Mark Henry, and Zack Ryder. That's ignoring NXT people, it's ignoring other divas that didn't wrestle, and it's ignoring all the injured or elsewhere busy people.
And that's a great list of guys, except for Darren Young. And, like, You're exactly right. Like, there's so many guys they could have utilized. Now's the time to be testing all these extra guys on this 3-hour show.
Well, to be fair, they are testing out Adam Rose right now.
Oh, ooh. Fuck me. Talk about being given an opportunity and burning it to the ground.
What were you about to say there, Drew?
I was about to ask, is that another thing that's on your list?
What's that? Adam Rose?
Adam Rose. The Rose Bush.
It should be.
It should be. I should just have one mark here that just says the Rose Bush. Yeah, that pissed me off too.
Adam Rose's career.
But I figured since that's a segment, we'll talk about that specifically.
But going back to the 3-hour thing, it was very noticeable how bad 3 hours could be tonight. When you start the show with like a 16-man like tag match, and throughout the night, they just repeated all these guys. They were in segments later on in the night. It was just terrible, just on so many levels.
All right, so next thing on my list I have here, aimless storylines for Sasha Banks.
Yep. Well,
You could say a lot of divas, but specifically Sasha Banks, who I am a humongous fan of. She won me over so much over her tail end of her time over at NXT. I got to see that match between her and Bayley at NXT Brooklyn Live, which, in my opinion, is the greatest women's match of all time.
Agreed.
And here we are a few months later. And she's hasn't lost on Raw, as far as I know, which is good. But she's not really doing anything important. I guess they kind of seem like they're doing something with Team Bad, having an alliance with the New Day, what they hinted with tonight. But she gets these wins and they mean nothing.
Well, see, the issue with being aligned with the New Day right now is that the New Day is aligned with everyone else who's a heel. So it doesn't really matter too much.
You say aimless storylines, but I don't see a storyline there to begin with.
Well, yeah, indeed. It's a lack of a storyline for Sasha Banks.
Mm-hmm. They have no direction with this girl, and which, if that's the case, then you should have never brought her up. If you only planned... I don't even think when they planned this Divas Revolution that they planned the week after all these Divas debuting. I think they were just throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what stuck.
They're kind of like, let's just drop these ingredients in and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. There's no way it had any direction, because we've seen some of the matches they pulled out. It just seemed like a clusterfuck.
Wazili in the chat room saying, my list includes, but is not limited to, everything.
Then he put, and Adam Rose.
Okay, next thing I have on the list here, and this one is more just a personal gripe. The consistent shilling of the network, even though me personally... I was a day one subscriber and have never canceled my subscription. And still having to deal with this all the time is just personally annoying for me.
I get why they do it right now, because it's the holiday season. They want people to buy like that little gift thing that they have with like the 3 months like card you can buy for people. So I understand why they're doing it right now. But shit, they had so many ads for that and SmackDown, and like they had like the smoking ads with like the Bella Twins and other people tonight. They were just doing so much cross-promotional stuff, and it just started... I didn't know what was a commercial and what was actually part of the show at some points.
You're not entirely wrong with the network, the way it's being shilled out, but at the same time, we're in a different era now where they're not in the business of promoting pay-per-views as much as they're promoting their network. So a lot of that commercial time, which would have been promoting this match and that match, is now going to be centered on the network. Unfortunately, they don't have a balance of both.
Yeah, because you can make people interested in the network by proxy of being interested in these events and the wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, they've gotten to this mindset now where the brand is more important than the stars.
Yeah, agreed.
That's something that's led to that. And, you know, as I said, this is just a personal thing. I completely understand why they do this. But you know where it really bothers me? Is if you are a subscriber, and even if you leave yourself logged in, and if you go to WWENetwork.com, you constantly get... put to a splash page that's trying to tell you to sign up for a free trial.
Yeah.
It's annoying as hell.
I've actually just blocked that on Adblock.
I didn't even know I could make it do that.
Yeah, you're going to have to show me how to do that.
For all those out there, Element Hiding Helper on Adblock. You can specifically block like certain things that don't automatically get blocked, and like parts of websites and stuff like that. Very, very useful.
There you go. Screw you, WWE.
Yeah. I mean, it's different if it's like, if the rest of the night was good, little things like that wouldn't bug us as much. But when you get like five bad segments in a row and then it's like, you know, now we're going to go to a commercial for something that you already have or something that you've already been advertised a bunch today or something that's just like, oh, God damn it. And then, you know, you sort of look at every new segment as like, maybe this is going to be the thing that makes me interested. And then it ends up being another commercial or another recap or something. So those little things get on your nerves a lot more. Like little things build up, you know? Mm-hmm.
And I should say, like, this is not in a specific order, by the way, this list. And you're right. A lot of these things are small things that normally may not matter. But I'm really trying to dig into this and really see if we can find what all the problems are. And who knows, maybe if we put enough awareness out there, it'll make change. And that's what it does for other things, right?
Sure.
Well, I think we'd have to change our Facebook profiles to like some kind of ribbon or some kind of like a gradient over it. Then maybe it'll actually pick up some steam.
Ooh. Maybe we can find a dead kid.
Yeah, maybe, you know, yeah, that could happen.
If you want to get us something for Christmas, give us a dead kid.
Help the cause.
All right. Well, we're going to start opening up the phone lines. If you want to dial in and start talking about what pissed you off about Raw or maybe even something you liked or whatever's on your mind, you want to throw us some questions, pick up that phone, dial area code 760-512-7247. You could also join us via Skype by hitting the Skype icon at the top of the page. Chat room is still open, packed with some cool cats there. And, of course, we're taking your tweets at Raw Post Show on there. And, of course, on the Facebook group, The Mega Maniacs. Actually, we got a tweet here from Dane Quinn. He tweets to us at Raw Post Show. I worked until 11. Is Raw worth watching?
Yeah.
Have you been listening?
Dude, all right, Dane, if you really love tater tot jokes, you're going to love part of tonight. Like a good 5 minutes of tonight.
No. It's not even like tater tot jokes. It's just completely shamming and just bullying someone by just calling him a tater tot. Yeah, not even jokes about it.
It would be great if he actually was making jokes.
Like if Roman Reigns got on like stand up kind of, and it was just kind of like, so you guys like tater tots? What about them tater tots, huh? He just started coming in there with like a big set about tater tots. Infinitely more entertaining.
I can't wait to touch on that.
All right. Next thing I have on my list here. Too many commercial breaks. Now, this is probably goes hand in hand with the 3-hour show, but I noticed, especially where they place these commercial breaks, it's allowing me to tune out of the show way too easily. Because I'm not going to sit here and watch commercials. I don't care how much I love my big fancy new TV or how much I want to be paying attention. It gets to a point now that they'll come back to the show and I haven't fully come back. And I got really confused tonight. And I know it wasn't the only one, was when they came back for that Stardust and Jack Swagger match. Mm-hmm. I was like, wait, when did this start? What the hell happened? Just suddenly we were in a match when we came back.
Yeah. Does anybody actually know if they introduced that? Cause I legitimately don't know either. I thought that this started in the middle of it.
Yeah, the same thing happened. They came back from a commercial break, and we was in, like, this fucking huge-ass tag team match at the start of the show.
Well, that's not as bad, because you've seen them all arguing with each other, and it's kind of like that implied thing.
It's just like, you don't... I didn't know the rules of the match. I didn't know that it was elimination. I didn't know if one guy got eliminated, the entire team. It was a clusterfuck.
You want to know what's the real bad issue with the commercial breaks is that leading into the commercials, there's nothing that's grabbing you to be like, oh, man, I can't go anywhere. I can't go take a shit because I might miss what's about to come on next. There's nothing that's like telling me or like grabbing me by the chest pretty much and saying
I hate it when a show doesn't make me shit myself.
Yeah, pretty much.
You don't see it ends up making you so excited that somebody's on the outside?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's what happens every time. They're on the outside. Oh, God, somebody's on the outside. We're going to go to a commercial. And when it comes back, we're going to be in the middle of a different match.
I hate that I agree with Russo on this, but he made the point that a match ideally should never go to commercial break.
I agree with that, too. Yeah. I used to miss when WWE had that strict rule.
Like, even if the matches end up a little bit shorter, I'm okay with it. Once you go away from a match and you try and get back into it, and maybe the babyface was doing really well when you left off, and now it's just in the heat with the heel dominating, it just kind of takes you out of it. You miss a part of the story.
We're going to come back to another point I have that relates to that, but I want to grab some comments out of the chat here. Silent Wind to Doom is backing it up saying, nope, we went enduring as far as the Jack Swagger Stardust match, so he's confirming that it just started in the middle of a match.
So bad.
Odd production element choice. Kenneth Cade in the chat room saying, it's sad when I have to sometimes miss Raw due to work, but then catch a post-show and realize I didn't really miss anything at all.
Yeah, that's how life works sometimes. It's perfect.
At least you're missing the bad show.
Well, it's the bad show.
You know, Kenneth said something in the chat about, like, did WWE learn nothing from WCW's attempt at a three-hour show? And I never got to watch WCW during its prime or when they did do a three-hour show type of thing. Is there a lot of similarities between the two?
No. I wish WWE knew what they were doing as much as WCW did, because WCW did some cool stuff with that first hour with the luchadors and some of the young guys. And then later in the show is when you had all this crazy stuff going on with the NWO and all that.
Yeah, essentially that first hour was just like a commercial block. They'd throw a bunch of advertisements on between a bunch of lower mid-card matches. But those matches ended up being the highlight of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, I'd go for that third hour of Raw just being a repeat of that old WCW break music. That bam, bam, bam. It's fucking awesome.
Love that music.
It's so good. Just do that for the last hour. Don't give me these tater tot segments. Bam, bam. Yes. That's so good.
I fucking love that theme.
That's one of the best things that ever came out of WCW.
All right. Well, now I want to go to a commercial break. I just complained about there being too many commercials.
Well, we got like Sergeant Slaughter.
Oh, Kenneth Cade brings up a good point. Bring back the Nitro Girls.
Sure.
I think they might look a little old though.
No, you could make a good crew of new Nitro Girls. You could put in like Summer Rae, Alexa Bliss.
Mm-hmm. Kimberly Page is still hot, last time I saw her.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. I'm perfectly fine with eye candy. Just keep them separate from your wrestling.
Oh my god, the chat room is saying the Nitro theme sounds like AutoZone.
Get in the zone!
Oh shit, it does.
AutoZone.
No, AutoZone sounds like the Nitro theme.
Duh.
Get it right.
Better way of saying it.
Alright, so next thing I have on my list here. Too much advertisement of upcoming stuff on the show. They're constantly reminding you, oh, we're having this happening, oh, we're having that happen. They'll have another segment to have saying we're this and this is that. Like, it's just way too much.
Do you know what would be awesome? If the show the week prior set up the stuff that's happening the week after.
You know what would be really awesome? If they actually knew what was going to be happening on the show before it started, and then they could just post all that stuff on .com.
Yeah, it's amazing how that works. It's all like pre-planning. You would have thought about it.
Next on my list, too many replays during matches.
Preach.
Oh my fucking goodness. I have been watching a lot of old WCW mid-80s Starcades lately, and first off, the production errors on some of those shows are hilarious and horrendous. But one thing I do like is that I can watch that entire match, and you don't see a single replay the entire match. Maybe at the end they'll have a couple small ones, but there isn't the screen being made ultra small with all these sound effects and sparks and all this other bullshit to play three replays of the same damn thing from different angles and once in slow-mo that isn't even out of slow-mo during the cool part. It's like the second before it actually where you want to see it in slow-mo.
And then it speeds up because they don't want you to see that they don't actually connect.
New Japan does it a great job of that now. If the match doesn't deserve a replay, they just don't get it. And if it does, they'll give you a whole good 5-minute block sometimes and show you all the cool moments. But WWE just doesn't get it.
Well, look, I'd rather it be a replay than for it to just go to a black screen like it did tonight at one point.
Well, oh, I missed that.
I don't remember which match it was. That might have been yours.
To me, it was in the middle of, like, it might have been the Stardust match. It might have been something earlier in the night or whatever. Like that. That split second, though, it just went completely black. Like, maybe they were, like, switching out from cameras boredom or something.
Chat room, see if you can confirm if you also saw a black screen.
Hopefully, I didn't just black out. Confirm if I blacked out.
You know what it is and what I think it is? I think it's WWE or Vince McMahon, or probably more likely Kevin Dunn's need to show off fancy technology. He just wants to show off they got the slow-mo cam. They want to show off that they could do this picture-in-picture-in-picture bullcrap. They just want to show it off. They want to show off their fancy graphics. They want to show off their sound library that they got that they can throw stuff on. And that could be the only reason why we're getting replays of super kicks that 50 people are doing.
And they don't even have Time Cow to be able to show off.
All right. Next to my list here, characters who cannot make up their minds if they are a babyface or they are a heel. On the show, I was completely confused about whether Charlotte or Paige were supposed to be a babyface or a heel. Team Bad, and for that matter, Team Bella at this point, I have no idea what either of them are supposed to be. The Authority, you never know what the heck they are supposed to be at any given moment. It doesn't make any sense.
I think that's a little bit more clear. A little bit clearer, I should say. It's a better word. I think that the Bellas, well, the Bellas, because one of them wasn't there. Team Bella in this match tonight were supposed to be the baby faces because Brie was trying to get the crowd to get behind her. And Sasha Banks and them, they did that little pre-match thing where it was just kind of like, haha, we're going to beat you, like the typical heel thing. And, you know, the unity, I don't get what that's supposed to be about. But
see, I thought that was supposed to be like them creating a catchphrase, get people into them.
It's terrible if that is. But I don't know about some of the other things. Like Paige and Charlotte. Yeah, Charlotte definitely came off like the heel. So, I don't know. That's just poor writing.
Yeah, but it seemed like Paige was kind of supposed to be too, because she was the one who retreated at the attack. And she attacked old man Ric Flair in Charlotte, North Carolina, which didn't really seem to give a shit.
Oh, they were in Charlotte tonight?
Yeah, they were in freaking North Carolina, and they did not really give a shit that Ric Flair got bitch slapped.
Very few people want to be in Charlotte.
Gunner. Or was it Bram?
I don't know.
Eric Young, I don't know.
Fucking TNA.
Oh, an interesting point here. Kaylin Fair is saying Charlotte was wearing all black. That means she's evil. That's some old school booking. I mean, Paige was wearing all black, too. Maybe it's a heel versus heel situation.
I don't think they give a fuck anymore.
Oh, I think that they care. I just think that they can't figure out what to do. I think they're in that situation where they're just kind of like, man, why can't people like this? Then somebody in the back's probably just like, because maybe we're not doing a good enough job. And they're like, fuck you, you're fired. Let's get Dewey in.
Doubt it.
I do agree, though. Weird things with the heels and the baby faces.
Next I have here, dead crowds. Crowds just don't seem to be as interactive as they should be. And if they are, it's the same old shtick of this is awesome, or they've kind of phased out the what chant thing.
Or the JBL.
Yeah, but now we got the tater tot chant.
Oh yeah, that's going to catch on real big, I'm sure. I'm sure, can't wait to see all the tater tot signs, which by the way is another thing. No signs, whether it's just that they're not being made or they're being confiscated, or a combination of people not making them anymore because they're afraid they're going to be confiscated.
Sorry, sir, you can't bring that in. Why? It slightly resembles an opinion we don't like.
I'm just going to be annoyed if we get tater tot signs in the future and they're not about Rusev.
Indeed. It just doesn't seem fun anymore. It doesn't seem like the crowd is having fun at these shows, and that's a big part. And I can't blame them for not having fun because the shows fucking suck. But when the crowd looks like they're having fun, it makes the show that much better.
Look at NXT.
Heck, that's probably what made TNA actually seem bearable for a little bit.
I wouldn't be too surprised, because those fans were really into TNA. I mean, somebody would do a clothesline and they'd be like, TNA, TNA!
But yeah, a guy who's like fucking 28 at return after being gone a month, and you've still got it!
But if you look at NXT, though, I mean, the last show that I've seen wasn't the most recent one. I can't remember which one it actually was. 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago or something like that. I got to catch up. But Bayley's wrestling a match, and the crowd just decides they're going to start a new chant of, hey, we want some Bayley. And they were having so much fun doing that. It got to the point where I'm listening to this and I'm in my chair kind of like tapping my foot along going like, hey, that's Bayley. I wanted a theme song to go with this. And then you look at Raw tonight, and people are like, yeah, that was all right.
Tater tots. The only chant that people seem to get enthusiastic into anymore is the New Day chant.
Mm-hmm. And occasionally when they want to chant for Daniel Bryan, even though he's not there.
Yes, I was going to say. The mix like of yes and no's when that happens.
Randy Savage gets popped every once in a while.
Yeah.
But when they let him into the arena, they make him change at the door from what I understand now.
It is cool that Michael Cole is one of the most over guys, though.
Yeah, you know, he always gets a bad reaction.
Cole deserves it. He's better than a lot of the people on this roster.
It's not wrong there. So this is actually a very, very big problem. There's no anticipation for these shows. I don't feel this excitement on Mondays. Where it's like,
I anticipate it sucking. I don't know what you're talking about.
There's nothing like I need to be in front of my TV to watch Raw at 8 p.m. other than because of my journalistic duties that I have to listen to it so I can talk to you guys on this show about it.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yep.
So much so. Now, okay, well, I've failed you guys tonight because I had such little interest in this show, I sat in my chair and I dozed off about 5 minutes before the show started.
Nice.
I missed about the first hour of the show, and I don't regret it.
You didn't miss much. Hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not. Well, just think about it this way: even though all the talent wrestled at the start of the show, you got to see him later on.
Oh, this is true. So they're probably just double dipping because they know some people only watch the first 2 hours, and some people maybe only watch the last 2 hours.
Well, don't worry, Roman
gets their part.
Don't worry, you got the gist of it. No matter when you watched, Roman looks strong at the beginning and at the end of the show.
And if you want to go back, you can watch your DVR recording, or you can watch it when it goes on the network, or you can watch recaps on YouTube, or you can watch recaps on WWE.com, or you can watch recaps tomorrow on Main Event, or recaps on Superstars, or recaps on SmackDown, or recaps on the pay-per-view pre-show, or recaps on the pay-per-view. So there you go. Just in case you fell asleep.
I think you forgot about the WWE app.
Oh, that's true. God damn it.
Yeah. So, and my closing thing that's pissed me off about Raw, the fact that it's been so bad that it's absolutely killed the Megamaniacs chat.
Yeah.
I post the chat in the Megamaniacs group every single week, although Wago had to cover for me this week because I missed it because of my sleeping.
Oh, it's kind of ironic that I named the chat Roar of Snore then.
Yeah, pretty much. It was doing pretty well for a while. It would get up to as much as 300 comments throughout the night. People were having a lot of fun there, a lot of interaction. And it's at this point where no one seems to give a shit about Raw to where they're watching it live. We still have people showing up for the live show,
but thankfully
it's a lot of people that are saying, yeah, I didn't watch Raw. I'm just kind of tuning in to listen to you guys talk about it.
Which is great. We appreciate that.
Yeah, totally.
Love you guys for that. And we're like super happy that you guys keep sticking around the shows that we're entertaining. You know? But Raw, man, what's it, the 3 weeks now that this chat has been dead?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and like we're talking like where we're the only people on there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure tonight it was just us four and Kaylin showed up eventually. I don't recall anyone else posting in there.
Maybe a rare comment here and there, but yeah, I'm scrolling through it right now. I think it's...
I'm not going to say that there aren't things that we can do better.
No.
And trying to attract more people to that. But yeah. I do feel a big part of the blame is the fact that nobody gives a shit about watching Raw live.
Yeah, I can guarantee you if WWE was putting on a better product, Raw was unattainable, and people cared about, man, this is the go-home show for the ending pay-per-view of the year. Man,
shit, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that ridiculous? And we didn't have half the matches announced until the third hour.
Oh, my God.
But let's put it this way. This is just a way to kind of prove that it's not just us. I mean, obviously, like you said, we could be marketing it more. We could be trying to promote stuff more for like people to chat and stuff. Just looking at statistics alone on SmartCat Moment, anytime that a pay-per-view has something really crazy interesting going on, page views go up drastically. Like when Sting was wrestling Seth Rollins, Night of Champions usually doesn't do that well. because that's like when people start getting a little bit tired of it. Like WrestleMania season's over, SummerSlam's done. So then it's like, we'll take a little bit of a break. That ended up doing really well. TLC right now is doing shit. Right about this time on a pay-per-view, I should be getting about 15 to 20,000 more hits on the predictions post than I currently have. That's a big number. So that means people just aren't tuning in.
Yeah. Well, I think last week was the lowest ratings they've had since like 1997, I believe, for Raw itself. So I, entertainment value is the highest thing, you know. If something's not performing well or not giving you the quality that you are expecting, then you're going to skip it. You're not going to watch it. And honestly, for a while, I just blamed, when people just blame the product for being bad, I'm just like, no, you're just overreacting because you're not getting what you want. You know, people always complain about Cesaro not getting pushed or Kevin Owens not main eventing. You know, people would complain. And, you know, I just thought that they were just like complaining just to complain, you know, just to like, you know, make a scene out of something that wasn't that big of a deal. But
these I am often accused of being guilty of the person who will go to great lengths to try to find the positive in things. And I am going to pull muscles if I try to find something positive through these shows sometimes.
Actually, right now, I think you might tear a muscle if you try to.
I might have to remove an arm. Did you have a point you wanted to finish there, Drew?
No, I'm just saying that, like, at the end of the day, if the product is shit, no one's going to tune in to watch, and I don't blame people at this point. Indeed. You know, I've had this feeling that, like, for a while that, like, you know, it's not very important. You could skip Raw now, especially, and just tune into the pay-per-view. You won't miss a beat. Nothing important will be going on other than, like, the main event. But at that point, there's nothing special about these, like, main event matches. It's like, hey, you called me a name. I'm the number one contender. So we're going to just have a few segments and I'm going to punch you in the face at the end of a Raw on the go home show. Man, are you excited to see this show on Sunday? Tune in to find out. There's nothing intriguing going on.
Thanks for your input, Tater Tot.
Hey, no problem.
All right, you are listening to the most interactive post-Raw experience available, the Raw post-show here on MegaPowersRadio.com. We're going to start inviting you guys again, as I said, on the phone lines here. Dial in area code 760-512-7247. You could also tweet to us at Raw post-show. We got the chat room open up on BlogTalkRadio.com's broadcast page for the show. And you can also post in the Mega Maniacs group on Facebook. We're going to be taking comments from all those places. We still got another hour to fill here. As a matter of fact, we're going to take a little break here before we come back. And I want to ask the hosts if they got anything else they want to add to the list of things that pissed them off on Raw today. And then we'll actually break down some of the segments on Raw. Hard to believe we got this much conversation without actually getting into that yet. Although, who knows if we'll even have anything for that. So we're going to come back in hour two of the Raw Post Show here on Mega Powers Radio after a short break. Getting so out of
bunch of maggots. It's a Sergeant Slaughter from WWE and G.I. Joe, the real American hero. You're listening to Mega Power Radio. Don't touch that dial. And that's an order.
What?
All right, we are back live here on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio. We are discussing why Raw sucks, and maybe we'll actually break down some of the segments here now, but we still want to hear what y'all out there got to say. Post in the chat, tweet to us, call in, whatever is on your mind. Fellas, I just gave my list of things that pissed me off tonight. I'm just curious, is there anything that popped into your guys' heads while we're going this down that you would like to add for tonight's discussion?
Ooh. Can I jump in?
Sure.
Lack of foresight. Mex America has been ditched already because they didn't plan a couple weeks ahead of time. League of Nations is something interesting, and I don't doubt that this is the better route they're going. But holy shit, could you not at least have pretended to like plan around one pay-per-view? The Jack Swagger thing that they built up with Alberto Del Rio's return was ditched for Survivor Series. And then they went back to it because they were like, oh, shit, we didn't do that. And now they had to ditch Mex America. So in the span of his return, we've gone from Mex America with a new U.S. champion, and then he's going to feud with Jack Swagger, to no, he's not, to yes, he is, to, well, he's not the Mex America thing anymore. And this is not thing, that hard, like, to plan ahead for.
When he debuted with that gimmick, everyone was like, let me tell you why that's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
It was clearly a dumb pairing that made no sense.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Something that I was thinking of that, you know, I don't know, it really pissed me off, but something that just felt lackluster was that the ending of some of these matches tonight, you know, roll-up wins, just weird spots and matches. Yeah, like there was a roll up with the triple tag match, you know, the Rusev Lana thing. And even to like the, I don't know, the at the beginning of the show, you know, you have that four way tag match with the four teams. And, you know, it was supposedly, I mean, I guess the League of Nations might be the biggest faction because they have the WWE champion in it. There should be no reason that the Wyatt family gets eliminated first by a fucking pinfall. They shouldn't be. If they were going to be the first ones to be eliminated, they should have got disqualified. No reason they should have been pinned.
Who was the one that got pinned?
Luke Harper. So it wasn't Bray or Strowman, but fuck, if you're going to pin someone, at least make it Eric fucking Rowan.
You can't hurt that future legend's credibility.
It was just the finishes, and even the Ziggler Owens match. It was a good match, but the ending just felt so fucking weird. Just how, just a few punches and then goes off the rope and power bomb out of nowhere. It was just weird. Just the whole show was weird.
Well, all right, let's start breaking down into some of the things here. As I said, I missed the first hour, so we get somehow a four way, 16 man tag team elimination match. What the hell? How'd this happen?
you were trying hard to stop that sneeze, wasn't you?
Well, someone
it's gonna last like two more seconds.
Well, a team
he's like, well, get here, you little bastard, you're staying in.
Well, so what happened was that someone came out, talked some shit, and then another team came out, said some stuff, and then Rhino showed up, so that was kind of cool. And then another team came out. And then it went to commercial.
Still laughing.
Yeah. We all were.
Oh, wow, that sneeze is so much better than Raw. Monday night sneeze.
Well, oh, there's the name of the episode. Monday night sneeze. All right. All right, we can start wrapping up, guys. Let's take us home. So, really, there's nothing else to say about this first hour besides this match happened and Roman Reigns was made to look strong.
I'll say, though, it was cool that the Wyatt family interrupted instead of the Dudley Boys or the whatever they're calling Roman Reigns' squad. Because that was actually like a split second there where you got League of Nations in the ring. It's like, well, you know, we're the best ever and whatever like that. And it's like, all right, well, who's going to come down and interrupt and say that they're not? Like, you know, how long is it going to take before Roman Reigns and company comes out? And then it's like, oh, shit, the Wyatt family. All right, you got my attention. And then it went downhill ever since then. But for like that split second that happened, I was just like, oh, damn, they paid attention and they're switching Raw up. And maybe like maybe the Wyatt family is going to turn babyface here, or maybe like there's going to be some cool like repercussions of this. And then it just became standard after that and whatever like that. So that's a shame because they really started out with me legitimately like being glued to my TV. And then I went back to work.
And I think that actually did reveal one thing. I think a good way to rehab Bray Wyatt would be a babyface run. I think he's ready to do it. Undertaker flip-flop between the two for a while, so no reason he can't.
Hmm. We had another segment with Stardust and Titus O'Neil interrupting Stardust, something about 3D glasses. The hell's this about?
So they got this guy called Stardust, and he's lame, and they've got this other one called Titus O'Neil, and he's even lamer. And then when they're together, their segments are really lame. And that's what happened.
Cool. Mm. We had a match between Kevin Owens and Dolph Ziggler. Owens gets the pop-up powerbomb for the victory. This was a fine connect-the-dots Raw match for Dolph Ziggler and Kevin Owens. What you see is what you get, pretty much what you expected.
Super kicks.
And replays of the super kicks. And sure replays of the replays of the super kicks with slow-mo at the wrong moments.
Well, there was something good to take away. Dolph Ziggler didn't win. He still looks stupid. And Kevin Owens' armpits are disgusting.
Dean Ambrose continues his popcorn gimmick. He comes out eating popcorn and throws it in Kevin Owens' face. I guess they're having them as the match for TLC. Where'd that come from?
Dean Ambrose won a number one contendership triple threat between him, Tyler Breeze, and Dolph Ziggler on the SmackDown.
Oh, shit. Really?
Yeah, last week.
Fantasy League or something.
Yeah. well, with Reigns, when he did that, he had to beat Sheamus in 5 minutes and 15 seconds last week to win the title. If he didn't win by then, Dean would have lost his number one contendership thing as well. That was something they added to it.
Plus, this is something that they wanted to do for Survivor Series, and then they needed to do the tournament, and then they had the two fight in the tournament anyway. So they've been building it.
We completely brushed over a fact that during that four-way tag match at the beginning of the show, we had a return of another ECW legend this week, Rhino.
Called it.
I marked out for him, and then I went, wait, he's in NXT, never mind.
Yeah, we've been watching this guy for months.
A couple days ago, I wrote up an article about how he's definitely going to be the one that they end up putting in there.
Well, Tony, good for
smart
you.
Move. I'm actually like positive about it. He's in NXT, and he's somebody who could like fit the gimmick and stuff. So why not?
He can, and that's fine if this was normal times. I feel like they could have tried to do better, and I think the obvious choice would have been to get Rob Van Dam in.
Yeah, you know, I thought he. Is Rob Van Dam not under contract with him anymore? Because they really didn't say anything about him after he left last time.
As far as I know, he had some kind of like loose deal. It's probably like just kind of a paper appearance thing.
Oh, okay.
Anyone just kind of glad that it's another ECW reunion? I think they did so many of them between WWE and TNA that even though I understand that some people still might like this, it's just painful.
Well, I'm not too upset about the idea of right now. I mean, because there hasn't been a real ECW reunion in quite some time. So, and, I mean, the Dudley Boys.
Hasn't?
When was the last time?
Okay, there doesn't need to be a reunion.
The whole House of Hardcore promotion?
Yeah, that's true.
TNA's, what was it? EV 2.0?
I'm just saying, I don't watch TNA. I'm just talking about on Raw, on WWE, yeah. They haven't had like an actual reunion. So, and I don't watch all this other stuff. So, I'm not like trying to like see an ECW reunion, but I understood why they would try to get their brothers and getting two people from ECW who are definitely not alcoholics or, you know, drug addicted and could actually make it to the ring.
It would have been terrible if they brought in like Balls Mahoney.
Balls Mahoney, like, or Sabu, or try to get Sandman to show up.
Sabu's not a bad guy to bring in. He's fucking...
No, Sabu's fine.
Yeah, he's butch, really? He's butch heavy, but as far as the guy goes, he's actually quite professional.
See, I thought he was retired.
He's bald and ugly. I don't know if he's retired.
I never heard anything about that, but maybe.
But Tommy Dreamer, I don't understand why they bought him at all. Like, he's fat, he's balding. Rhino makes sense, especially considering he was like their last ECW champ, I think. So bring him and Rob Van Dam.
Well, you know what's funny about Tommy Dreamer is that he was just booked to go on that tour of India that TNA was supposed to have. That, of course, got canceled. So that's why he had some free time and WWE brought him in.
Really? Did not know.
They realized how ugly he was before they did it?
You think maybe they're just doing this just to, like, do one final little jab at TNA? Like, oh, you're not going to use Tommy? All right. Hey, Tommy. Here, you want a job? Come here.
He's like, yes, please. I'll do anything. Do I have to be a janitor? I don't care.
Can I wear ugly pants? I saw pictures of those pants he was wearing in the first match. I get they were a dusty tribute, but they were fucking hideous.
Would have been better if he covered them in dust. Fucking, I don't know what the poke... I don't know what made it worse, that he had polka dots on the one side or that ugly-ass House of Hardcore logo.
I wasn't looking at his pants, I don't know.
I know, his bald head was very distracting.
Away from the screen is where I was looking.
Touché. We have a segment backstage with Neville and The Miz and Donnie from the US show, USA show, Donnie, which of course we're doing.
Was he a part of the Spirit Squad? He sounds like he would be.
Donnie!
is lame.
Weird actor that has the show that follows up Raw on USA now. I see the commercials all the time. You've probably seen them too. It doesn't look like the worst show USA has ever done, but it's definitely not something that's my tastes. Odd cameo, but of course, inner show play. Of course, they're going to have it. We probably actually will see a wrestler appear on that show at some point. They've put wrestlers on shows on the network before, like Psych. I'm sure there's been other ones I can't think of offhand. But
Big Show was on something, right?
Sure.
He was on like generic like logo on a white screen background TV show, like all the other USA shows.
Something about some kind of job.
Yeah, it's the man or the woman, they got a job, and then it turns out that there's some wacky hijinks that go down in it.
Mm, interesting.
Yeah.
It sounds like, very relatable.
A lot more than this fucking Donnie show, though. It's one thing.
Oh, yeah, the whole point of the show is that he's like a douchey guy who hangs out with celebrities. So, like, that doesn't sound relatable to me at all. I'm a loser.
like me. Yeah.
Okay, so what about this whole story between, like, The Miz trying to give Neville a makeover?
Just start with the ears.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How is that a better joke than the fucking Adam Rose Dumbo joke? God damn it, Adam Rose. This is stupid. I mean, Neville and Miz are both good people that could be wrestling, and instead they're doing a backstage segment with Donnie? Fuck is Donnie? Some guy who's going to have one season of a TV show that sucks?
Interested in watching the match, if that means anything, but I'm sure they'll give him 5 minutes.
It'll probably be on the pre-show.
Yeah.
Just and we'll get it announced the day before or during the pre-show. It'll just happen.
So I hate to bring this back to Tommy Dreamer, but we got some comments here in the chat room. Caleb Ferris is saying, Bubba Ray just tweeted out, it's the beast under your bed, in the closet, in your head. So people are predicting the Sandman appear, which is followed up by Sidewind the Doom saying, I was wondering if they were just doing the last segment with Braun Stroganoff just so they could cripple Dreamer and get a bigger name for the pay-per-view.
Sandman's not a bigger name.
I would actually argue
that Dreamer's a bigger name. Sandman's easily bigger, especially at this point. Tommy's kind of actually hurt his reputation in continuing. Sandman's still got some mystique about him.
I don't think it's in WWE size that Sandman is bigger.
No, plus Sandman's hell of a more liability.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's part of the fun.
RVD, though, I did forget about RVD, and I can't defend the idea that he wouldn't be bigger. He would be the biggest that they could bring in that. They should.
Yeah, I couldn't think of a single guy bigger other than, you know, like Eddie Guerrero or something.
You know, was, right. Nobody was really sad. You know who they could get back if they asked him to, which they shouldn't? Terry Funk.
Oh, Jesus, oh, yeah.
Goodness.
You know he'd say yes as well.
He'd be like, can we also make it a retirement match?
Yeah, him and Mick Foley could both come back for one more match. And they could talk about how great the product is now. The product's finally getting good again. It's amazing. We had a match between Naomi and Sasha Banks teaming up to go against Brie Bella and Alicia Fox. Naomi pins off of a rear view after a distraction from Sasha. We already kind of mentioned this before and during the list. Really no direction going on for either of these ladies right now. At least they're on TV, I guess.
Yeah, there's worse things. You could be like in Zack Ryder's position.
Didn't he get injured?
No, he's on NXT.
No, he injured his career by getting over.
Oh, okay.
Can't do that.
After the match, Team Bad is greeted by the New Day, who comes out and offers them their own unicorn horns while they dance while we go to commercial.
Yeah. Okay.
We come back, New Day does their New Day shtick, which honestly I did not care much for, whatever the hell they were doing here. They did this acting out where Big E was a tree and Kofi Kingston was a cat. It was about as weird as it sounded.
I liked it.
You know, you're a mark.
Theater!
What about the horns? You guys gonna get a pair for yourselves? Tony?
I already have one.
Oh. You make it yourself?
I don't know how to make another joke out of this. Now, of course, I'm not going to buy a horn, but New Day's awesome. It was fun watching them do this. Bad Day rocks. You know, I laughed. Sasha shaking her ass. Can't be negative about that, right?
When you put it like that.
Yeah, see? This was like some life into the show, you know? Some vitality. Everything's so down all the time. You get like a Rusev thing where he just comes out and it's just kind of like, and then you get like the next segment. People are blah. You get Titus O'Neil on the microphone and he's just like, massive bore and whatever. And then New Day comes out and they seem like they're having fun. And it kind of is like when you go to the movie theater and you see a comedy, it's more fun when other people are laughing. New Day kind of makes me think like they're having fun on Raw. Maybe I'm having fun watching Raw. And then we go to another segment, and then I'm like, oh, wait, no, I'm not. So kudos to them for making me, watch my screen for part of this.
We had a tag match between The New Day and the Lucha Dragons. This match ends when Xavier Woods blows his trombone in the face of the Usos, who are ringside for commentary. They go to attack him, which distracts Kofi, allowing Kalisto to get the pin. Cool. I guess. Again, they're just setting up some random victory for the Lucha Dragons, who are highly unlikely to win at TLC. So it doesn't really matter what happens today, especially with the distraction. The thing that annoys me the most is this is two matches in a row where there was a distraction roll-up pin.
That's the go-to pin. Not defending it. It's just that's what they do now. Every episode of Monday Night Raw, every episode of SmackDown, I'm assuming, because I don't really know for sure, it's all distraction. That's it.
We have a backstage segment where Roman is interviewed saying he doesn't need a lesson from Sheamus about how to be a champion and that he is going to teach Sheamus a lesson on how to be a former champion. That was kind of clever, I guess.
Meh.
All right, this is one of the worst segments on the show for me. Miz TV featuring Ric Flair and Charlotte. As I said, they're in Charlotte, North Carolina, and the crowd just did not care. That's supposed to be Flair country.
No, I this actually reminds me of something. I remember back in 2013, like after the Raw after WrestleMania, one of the best crowds ever, you know, nonstop cheering. I think the next week they went to North Carolina or South Carolina. And it was dead, completely dead. So, honestly, now I think about it, it wasn't even that bad of a crowd reaction by them tonight.
No, still bad.
Yeah, well, so the past, like, So it was the same thing the past 7 weeks.
Well, I think a lot of it may have been that the crowd was confused because the whole dynamic of the segment was confusing.
Well,
Charlotte is called out for her attitude change by The Miz. Miz introduces Paige to come out, and he does this goofy smile, which I don't know if it's supposed to be like a sinister heel smile, if it's supposed to be like hyping the crowd smile. Paige comes out. She's kind of playing to the crowd, but at the same time, she retreats from Charlotte like a heel. She slaps Ric Flair, which prompts Ric Flair to send Charlotte to attack Paige. I don't know what the hell was really supposed to go on here. And most important thing I can say is Charlotte is still horrendous as a character.
Yeah.
Just rubbing more Ric Flair all over her is not helping her. they need to stop that and let her stand on her own.
Well, see, the issue is when you're rubbing Ric Flair on you, you're just wiping his blood on you. And that's just weird to do.
What?
I wouldn't be surprised if that's some weird family ritual.
You know what's weird? Like, when it comes to these Miz TV segments, it's really not the Miz that's like holding him back. I think Miz is actually doing his best to like keep it entertaining, because whenever Miz gets time on TV, he usually does a pretty good job when he comes to like doing promos and such, or when he actually gets like a Miz TV segment.
What I'll fault Miz for is the difference between him, Roddy Piper, Chris Jericho, and a few other hosts that have actually pulled it off, is he fades into the background. Mm-hmm. No one, the other guys didn't. That's the big difference. He becomes a prop as opposed to a main part of the segment.
Well, a lot of the times, especially recently, it's just like whenever he does Miz TV, it's, hey, I'm gonna bring you out, and then eventually someone else will come back, and he'll just sit back, watch, and let them two have an argument, not trying to actually host the show. Like, sometimes, like, you know, people ask questions, and, you know, he'll get a good response, but fuck me. It's just terrible sometimes, just how bad this can be, especially with Charlotte. Ric Flair just sounds like Scott Hall.
You know, the best part of the segment, when they got done brawling, some dude in the crowd yelled out, "You still look good, Paige."
She did look good.
Yeah. But it's like, that's like the best part. It's just some guy being like, "Yo, still hot."
Hey.
Probably gave like, yeah, the Fonz thumbs up. Hey.
You just keep doing what you're doing.
Good job, toots.
We had a match between Ryback and Rusev next. Before the match, we get a little inset promo with Rusev and Lana just sucking face, which is just a horrid sight to see. Lana basically says that she forgives Ryback for hurting her last week, which I didn't even remember was a thing. So they had this match, and again, they had Lana play like she was being hurt when Ryback accidentally ran into her. But it was all a ruse, as Rusev attacked him from behind, put him into an accolade outside the ring, which I believe resulted in a double count out, so nothing truly beneficial other than just beating Ryback down. And I guess this is a full-on feud now. So that's fine, I guess. This whole over-affectionate story with Rusev and Lana, though, gagged me with a spoon.
You know what?
The duo worked perfectly when there was no, like, on-air romance, where it was just Lana spoke for him, he kicked the shit out of someone, he left. Just go back to it. You know it works. Stop being a dickhead.
I don't even think people necessarily assumed that they were, like, a couple. I think a lot of people thought that maybe she was, like, a translator, or just, like, even just, like, a manager for him.
Does anybody know? I haven't seen Rocky IV in a shit ton of a long time, but the woman that was like his trainer for Ivan Drago,
yeah,
were they a couple in the movie? Does anybody remember? Anybody in the chat remember either?
I don't think they were.
I don't remember them specifically being, so I always kind of assumed it was just a playoff of that. But of course, you put two people together, they're going to start shipping them, you know?
I thought he had a wife at some point during that.
Oh, maybe that's going to be the separate thing. Is maybe Russo's going to have a wife?
Maybe that was his. Yeah, maybe that was his wife in the movie. Now that I'm thinking about it.
Well, all right, way to come through for us, Drew. You're supposed to be the resident Rocky fan here.
Hey, I haven't seen Rocky IV in a long ass time. The only time I see Rocky IV is sometimes I'll flip through the channels on TV, and it's always the scene in the movie where he's like running through snow, chopping wood, in the fucking barn with no clothes on, just like doing like pull ups. It's that scene every fucking time.
I have, to this day, never watched a full Rocky movie.
That's a damn shame. You just made it sound incredibly gay.
Rocky always looks terrible. That's why I can't get myself to sit down and watch the whole movie.
If you watch all of them, assuming Creed is good, I've heard it's good, and I actually do want to see it. But if you watch all of the other ones combined, it makes one good movie.
Like all five, would you could count the six one?
So can I just watch like a super cut that's like 3 hours long that just has all the good parts?
Probably. The most part, it'll just be him, you know, punching like a fucking meat in the argue with his wife / girlfriend, fight, and then music in the background. Like they'll do that six times.
Skip the scenes with the robot and shit. Like,
and you'll also have get up, Rocky, get up, your mom.
I do have to be honest. I do want to see Creed.
It does look good. I've actually been hearing that it might win, or not win, but get nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things about it.
Yeah, it's supposed to be really good. And Vasily in the chat says, yeah, they were married. So
yeah,
that kind of kills that idea.
Well, there goes our Rocky talk.
Yeah.
Let's make fun of Lana's eyebrows, though. God damn.
You're like the only one who like hates her with the passion.
They didn't really bother me. I don't know what you're so uppity about. I actually thought Lana looked kind of good. She had her hair down a little bit more this week.
Yeah.
I hate, big eyebrows and nasty eyebrows are one of my biggest turnoffs, and she doesn't bother me, so I'm not sure what you're on about.
Yeah, she doesn't have like a certain someone's bushy eyebrows, so
Tony, stop shaming women.
She's overrated.
You've been saying this for a long time.
I don't know, man. And going away from the eyebrows, like even in that suit type thing she was wearing, her figure still looked good.
I'm not gonna bash her figure. Just her face.
Well, you're not going to bash anything with Rusev attached to her.
Damn straight.
Well, that's true. But then again, she's not even wrestling, so nobody's going to bash anything. They're going to bash anything. They're going to bash her wrist or whatever it was she broke. Point is, go watch Creed.
Yeah. In conclusion. we came back from commercial break, as we were saying before, in the middle of a match between Stardust and Jack Swagger. Totally confused. As soon as we came back to this match, came out of nowhere. Alberto Del Rio and Zeb come out. Titus O'Neil was on commentary already, by the way, so we got all these people in play for this thing. Swagger actually gets a clean victory via the Patriot Lock, but is immediately attacked with a chair by Alberto Del Rio from behind. Then Titus O'Neil is warning Del Rio that Stardust is creeping up behind him. Del Rio hits Stardust with a chair. Jack Swagger plays possum and backs off Del Rio with a chair. Del Rio trips over Zeb Coulter's cart. Del Rio runs out. Jack Swagger shames Zeb Coulter. Zeb Coulter slowly scoots away in his scooter. And that was the segment.
That was funny as fuck.
This is wrestling.
This whole thing was a cluster. It was way too many people involved here. Titus O'Neil didn't be there. Why was he letting Del Rio know that Stardust was behind him? Why does he give a shit? Why is he helping Del Rio?
I have no idea. This segment confused the fuck out of me. The fuck?
I'm so glad I wasn't the only one that laughed, though, when he scooted away.
Oh, no, it was hilarious. And it was so funny because they did it again the next segment.
Yeah. Like, Del Rio's chucking a chair and he just turns around like, hey, yeah, what's going on?
Yeah, what the fuck? Who was hitting me with those?
Yeah. Hey. Careful, you damn kid.
Hey, Al. Don't do that. I like that.
Yeah, so
awkward.
The very next segment, Alberto Del Rio is absolutely berating Zeb Coulter, saying that he doesn't need him at all. And they break up. Mex-America connection is no more. Alberto Del Rio sends him off. Zeb Coulter again scoots off slowly. Alberto Del Rio throws a chair towards him, which knocks over a bunch of pipes and makes some cool noises. We were talking about our favorite weapon noises on this edition of Smack Talk this week. That's always a cool one they have when they have a pile of pipes and that gets knocked over when they're doing like a backstage brawl or something. That's always fun.
Pile of pipes. Let's play bass for pile of pipes.
Nice. Were you going to say, Wayo?
I was saying nothing.
You were definitely about to say something.
Free hat.
Okay.
Anybody think that it would have been great if we could have, when Zeb was leaving, that they just was like, no Zeb's allowed?
that would require creativity.
They gotta pipe that in, like that chant at the end.
Yeah, they could have used it with the pile of pipes to get the pipe in. We had a match with Braun Strowman and Tommy Dreamer, which, hey, weren't the two of these guys just in a match, the same match together earlier? For some reason, they had to have another one. Tommy Dreamer changed his pants, thank God. Braun Strowman chokes him out with whatever his move is called. I don't even know how to describe the thing. It's just a hug. It's just a really weird hug.
It's the
Wish you kept him, Tony. He finally got a pin, not a pin, but a victory.
Yeah, what the fuck, man? You don't wrestle at all until I get rid of you. Bullshit.
What do you mean? Yeah, as soon as you drop him, two matches is one night.
Maybe they're looking at the team that I have and they're going, well, shit, anytime somebody has somebody on their team and we give them a push, they get injured. So let's not have him wrestle until he's off of Tony's team.
Well, to be fair, Seth Rollins really wasn't getting a push. He was already pushed.
Yeah, it's true.
Push to the moon.
Definitely. So have we talked about Rose Bush yet?
Oh, I think we missed that. Can we just skip it?
Yeah, sure.
Let's just skip it. I don't think anyone's got anything positive or, like, really constructive to say other than fuck you, Adam Rose.
It was really bad.
Yeah.
I'm astonished they gave this a second week.
They really must like Adam Rose for some reason.
It's not even one of those things where you can go, well, if he did this a little differently and he did this instead, and then if he... It's just... No, it's just really bad. He's just a really bad participant in this company.
Now, this could work if you changed it from Rose Bush to a different title and you had a different person doing it and it was in the ring and it was a wrestling match.
You know, when you do this, when you do these TMZ skits, you know, you always picture someone as flamboyant. Adam Rose fits that a bit, but, you know, he doesn't sound like someone who would be hosting like a rumor thing.
This is what Miz should be doing. Or not what Miz should be doing, but if anybody was going to do this, it should be the Miz.
Mm-hmm. Or Ziggler. Like, Ziggler had a little show on YouTube before where it was sort of like this, and he was doing jokes because he's got some background in stand-up comedy now. Have him do it. Give him a little bit of character like that. Obviously, he can't do the Rose Bush, but he can do whatever the fuck you want to call that thing. And I would like it so much more, and I might not still love it or anything like that, but Adam Rose, you don't buy into him actually being this guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Indeed. Yeah. So stop doing these segments.
Yeah.
Please. Knock the hell off, man. Like,
just knock it off. Bad. Bad.
Slap him on the wrist, damn it.
I mean, come on. Got it. So that transitions me into the final segment we had tonight. Roman Reigns comes out to the ring to call out Sheamus to see what kind of lesson that Sheamus was going to teach him. Sheamus eventually comes out and Roman Reigns starts a series of name calling, and I say one specific name because he just kept referring to Sheamus as Tater Tot.
Tater Tot, that's funny. We should say that over and over again.
Well, the first time he said it, it was kind of cute. It was like, yeah. Oh, that was neat. But they couldn't just leave it alone. He was kind of like, oh, people like something? Oh shit, I better do it again. I'll do it again. And again.
I almost feel like it's partially the fans' fault that he does that, though. He's so not used to being liked that he grasped that it so hard. They like me. They really like me.
How much you want to bet WWE is going to go so hard on that the next couple days, though?
Oh, absolutely. I'd like pay-per-view, Roman's music. It's going to be going on a lot.
Roman's Tater. Music.
Tater. Hash. Brown. Tater.
It's going to be great.
They're going to try to get a chance started at TLC. They're going to try to work that into some kind of pre-match promo or something, you know. It's going to be bad.
Oh, my God. They stretched this segment out for so long. There was a bunch of weapons set up in the ring because they're having their TLC match. So there was tables and ladders and chairs, oh my, in the ring. And Sheamus, one by one, was like, well, I'm not coming in there. You got a chair. So Roman Reigns like, okay, Tater Tot. There, Tater Tot, the chair is gone. Tater Tot. And then Sheamus would be like, well, I'm not coming to there. There's a table. Oh, sorry, Tater Tot. Let me get the table for you, Tater Tot. There, table's gone, Tater Tot. And this just went on for so long. Finally, Sheamus got in there. They brawled all throughout the arena. closing out with Roman Reigns spearing Sheamus through a table that was set up along the ring there.
Yeah, pretty much. Hey, there's still a blank in the ring. If I go in there, you're going to hit me with it. All right, well, there's still blank in the ring. You're like, fuck, dude.
There's still a guy in the ring.
There's still a Roman Reigns in the ring.
Oh, God.
I go in there, he's going to hit me with him. This was terrible.
I like
the only thing that was funny about it was the come on.
I like how that both men look strong tonight. How Sheamus looks strong in the one segment and Roman Reigns looks strong in the... Oh, wait, no. Roman Reigns dominated in all the segments. That's right. Huh.
So... I can only assume that Sheamus is going to win.
Yep.
Partially, that'll... But here's the thing. If Sheamus wins now, Roman Reigns looks fucking incredibly stupid considering how easy it is for him to dominate him, apparently.
Yeah.
And if he beats Sheamus, it's kind of like, yeah, should have happened.
You know what? I'm going to be not surprised at all if by the main event of TLC... Like, it'll just turn into a clusterfuck with, like, the two League of Nations and, like, Dean Ambrose and the Usos coming out to, like, fight as well.
Wazili in the chat room says, Tater Tots 515 says, I just browned your hash. That's cute. Oh, Kenneth Cade is leaving us for the night. Well, good night, Kenneth Cade. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Yeah. See you, Kenneth.
Missing out on the last parts of the show. Some of the most fun.
Definitely better than the actual fucking Raw show itself.
Any final thoughts about this segment?
Nah, too Tater long. Tot, I think I told you everything that I've got to say on it, Tater Tot. So let's get this segment moving along, Tater Tot.
It was fucking terrible. It was just like, I don't know. I don't think I'll say it's as bad as like the tug of war at the go home show to fucking WrestleMania. But this was bad. Like just like I. It just felt like they were just reading off a script or it just sounded like one of those cutscenes in like an old WWE SmackDown versus Raw game. It was just terrible to listen to.
I'll say this. This isn't the fault of Sheamus.
Whoa.
It's the writers.
Wow.
And it sucked. And it was terrible. And Sheamus needs to lose the belt.
but goddamn. Like, yeah, I know there's those rumors where Reigns was Vince was like writing his like promos and stuff, but shit. This is just terrible. I bet the Tater Tots thing was something that Vince thought was funny and no one was going to tell him no. So they were all just like, yeah, it was a great idea. Kevin Dunn's probably like, that is fucking genius.
What's the replay of it?
Over and over again.
So, spent a lot of time being negative tonight. I want to talk about something positive because I actually have a fave commercial tonight.
Chicken fries are back?
No, but it is something exciting that I saw, and it was the first TV spot for The Hateful Eight, which is the new Quentin Tarantino film coming out, I believe it said on Christmas?
It was limited, special screenings on Christmas, and it's out everywhere January 8th. It looked good. Like, it looked interesting.
It looks awesome, and this movie faced a lot of hurdles. There was actually at a point where Quentin Tarantino stopped production on it because a bunch of people on the internet leaked the script, and he... through a big prissy fit.
Don't blame him for doing something like that.
I do, but at the same time, he's kind of being a baby.
Yeah, he probably doesn't know how to use technology on the internet too well.
Eventually, he reverted on it, and the movie was obviously made. It looks awesome. I can't wait to see it.
It looks like a Quentin Tarantino film, too.
Mm-hmm.
You can definitely tell it is.
Is one of my 6 flicks picks for December, and if you want to find out what the other 5 are, go to Fanboys Anonymous.
Fuck a cheap plug, fucking loser. Anyways.
It was expensive to do that plug.
Well, I'm still out of breath.
Did you donate to Patreon?
Sure. I should start charging people for that. All right. So let's do our good, our bad, and our ugly, where we talk about the best part of the show, the worst part of the show, and the most must-avoid part of the show. This one should be interesting. If you have a good, bad, and ugly, drop it in the chat room or tweet to us real quickly, and we'll try to get it on the show here. Yes, it is. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Drew, you have a good, bad, and ugly for us?
Yes, I do. For my good, I'm going to go ahead and I've narrowed it down between two for a match sake, it was Kevin Owens versus Dolph Ziggler, and then also the Del Rio segment where he threw like a hissy fit. I actually really enjoyed that. It was I don't know, it was just cool to see him like freak the fuck out and on Zeb and Zeb.
Nice intensity during it.
Yeah, and then like he almost fucking knocked pipes on Zeb. That would have been awesome if that actually happened. But for my bad, I honestly don't know. Like, there really shouldn't be a bad because there is a lot of ugly. But if I had to choose a bad just for the sake of something being bad, it might be some of the commercials and maybe the network itself on how much they were talking about it and all that kind of crap. But for my ugly, man, it's a tie between the ending segment, Rosebush, that Strowman Dreamer match, and I don't know. There's probably something else in there, but I don't remember. And I hope I don't remember.
Tony, you're good, bad, and ugly.
My good is going to go to the New Day. I liked all that stuff that they were doing in the ring. Something interesting, and it's not grown thin on me yet. Bonus points for Sasha being out there, because Sasha should be doing better, and she's hot. So they're my good. My bad is actually a tie. I couldn't quite decide between which one to do this one. It's either just the booking of the main event and Sheamus and everything like that, because this is like, I have no interest in TLC. This is the best that you can do, really, to have that kind of an ending. And Sheamus looking weak and taking the fall in the match and just poor planning when it comes to that. But the tie to go with that I was like, I don't know which one's worse, is everything revolving Stardust, Titus O'Neil, Swagger, and Del Rio tonight. The fact that they introduced the match in the middle of nowhere, the ending of it where Titus isn't helping out, the awkward scooting off, the backstage thing, the fact that they did the Mex America just got tossed away and all that. It just reeks of confusion. And that we had a built-in thing with Stardust and Goldust that they've abandoned. And now they're going to come back to that eventually, and it's going to be another case of them just planning in a poor way. But my ugly's got to go to the Rosebush. 2 weeks in a row, this sucks. And they need to get rid of that, and they need to actually just get rid of Adam Rose.
Yeah. Yeah, way to go.
Good. Was the show was in 4 hours, because at that point I probably would kill myself. The bad is that it was 3 hours that I had to sit through of it. And ugly, somehow throughout the show, sucking as bad as it is, Adam Rose's segment still sticks out as the fucking worst. That's appalling. What the fuck is wrong with this company?
We got one in the chat room here. Silent with the Doom says, good Stardust crab shuffle out of the way when Zeb had to scoot by. Adding more hilarity to that part. The bad is the Rusev versus Ryback match. No fault to the big guy. And the ugly, Roman going over the champ 2 times in the go-home show to a pay-per-view. All right, my good, bad, and ugly. My good, I'm going to give to Tater Tots. Not anything Roman Reigns said, just the food. Tater tots are delicious.
I endorse this. Mm-hmm.
The bad I'm going to give to the Stardust versus Jack Swagger match, just because the whole way that went down with coming back from break all confusingly and having way too many players out there, including one of the primetime players, just was way too much.
I endorse this.
And my ugly, the Rosebush. Can't say anything more that hasn't already been said. Fucking horrendous.
Tony?
Nobody should endorse the Rosebush.
Indeed. All right, guys. We got a game to play here.
Woohoo.
People love the games, and I think I got a fun one for you here. We're going to do Tap Out. That's the most common one we do, but I couldn't resist doing it for this one. But I'm going to call it Todd Out, because the theme that we're going to be doing for Tap Out this week is ways to cook a potato. Drew, you go first.
Let's go with you fry a potato.
Fry it?
Yeah.
Specifically, how you can't just say fry. There's a lot of ways you could fry a potato.
Okay, fry it in a frying pan.
Tony?
What is he? Can I say tater tots?
Yes.
Is that what you're going for? Or if we're not going for, like, you know, I got to cook it with a specific meal.
Oh, okay. Okay, my bad. Then I meant French fries in that retrospect then. I thought you meant physically cooking a potato, so French fries.
Okay, French fries. That works. Tony.
Tater tots.
Wago.
Hash brown fries.
All right. Drew?
Baked potato.
Tony?
Twice baked potato.
Ho, 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 ho. Wago.
Smiley face fries.
True.
Is it bad if I say thrice baked potato?
No, that's
not. Oh, okay, that's fine. How about potato-like slices?
Potato-like slices?
Potato.
What about slices? If I dislike the slices?
All right, Drew, you're out. Tony?
Home fries.
Wago?
Certain way. Wrap it in foil, throw it in a bonfire, pull it out. It's fucking awesome.
That's a baked potato.
Yeah, but it's better on a bonfire.
All right, I'll let it. Tony?
Chips.
Okay, I was waiting for that one. Wago?
A regular baked potato.
That was what Drew said.
I think I already said that.
Yeah. Boiled potato?
A boiled potato?
Boiled.
Boiled potato?
Hmm.
The hell is that?
Boiled potato. Hot water. Boil it.
Oh, boil.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought you said bold.
I thought he said bold, and then I thought he said oiled.
Does bolt count? Because that could be my next one.
Bulbasaur potato.
Okay, a boiled potato, Tony.
So glad it's not a bold potato.
You want to do the italic potato?
You said Jim Crockett.
The underlined potato.
Wago.
Mashed potato.
I was waiting for mash, Tony.
Did we just say hash browns?
Yeah, that was said way earlier.
All right, then gnocchis.
Wow, we're getting obscure here, Wago.
Yams?
Yams? No, that's a different.
Yeah. Sweet fries?
That's so different. Yeah.
All right, Wago's out. Tony wins the potato tap out. Time out.
I had one more that I could think of.
Shit, it came close then.
Was it a potato salad?
Oh, wow.
Oh, damn. No, I was thinking of scalloped potatoes.
Yeah, scalloped is another big one I was thinking at the very beginning.
Oh, and latkes.
Oh, latkes. Oh, yeah, potato soup. Potato chips and a chicken pot pie.
Shit, did none of us say mashed potatoes?
No, I said no.
Wago, it took a long time for mashed potatoes to come up. I was shocked.
The only reason I didn't say it is because I thought someone else had said it by now, and then I figured it. Then I thought about it some more. I'm like, what?
So I wanted to do, would you cook them in a box? Would you cook them with a fox?
Potatoes.
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 I'm kind of glad Sean wasn't in on this because he probably would have had like 15 other words that mean like mashed and whatever, and I wouldn't have known if that was real or not.
I should have just started saying British swear words followed by potatoes, and you guys would have bought it.
Probably had oiled potatoes.
Be like, pickle in a pot. And they'd be like, what the hell is that supposed to mean? No, you don't have pickle in a pot potatoes?
Yeah, sounds like Sean.
All right. Well, Tony, you get to choose who does the plugs and how they do it.
I'm just laughing at bold potatoes.
Rusev potatoes. Oh, no. Drew. I would have totally accepted someone saying Rusev potatoes.
Oh, that would have been great.
Drew has to do the plugs as a bald potato.
All right. I'm down with that. Drew, you're doing it as a bald potato.
I don't know how he does that. But...
Oh, shepherd's pie. Oh
shit. God. Shepherd's pie. That is a British thing, too.
It's also a shepherd thing.
Yeah.
All right, Drew. We got 11 minutes here. You got to do the plugs as a bald potato.
All right. My gentlemen, when it comes to being bold as a potato, you got to do a plug bold. So at the end of the day, listen, if you really feel like it, if you want to be confident, okay, you know, if the only way to succeed in life is by going to smartguymoment.com, click on the potato ad at the top. You might see a bold potato while you're up there. There might be an article about Rusev potatoes as well. So go check out that. If you go to stephenwago.com, you'll see him praising the life of a potato. And it's amazing. And then for Mr. Mike Payton, oh my God, the potatoes that he eats, I'm ashamed that he does. Those are my friends. But God damn it.
You brought it back around there at the end, Drew.
Yeah.
Wow, if you enjoyed this edition of the Raw Post Show on MegaPowersRadio.com, please join us every single week following Raw. As bad as the show may be, we're still going to be here trying to bring you the best entertainment we can. So join us every single week. If you can't be here live, though, we are available in archive form. We're on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, YouTube, pretty much anywhere podcasts are found, along with an easy link to find all those at our archived home on SmarkOutMoment.com, the home of much other wrestling content. Also, find us on Facebook, the Mega Maniacs Facebook group, where you can chat with us all throughout the week. And we'd like to hear from you during the show, during the week. Always want to know your questions and thoughts about Raw, the sad state of WWE. Get your thoughts out there, and we'll read them, continue on next week, because I want to continue this experiment trying to analyze what the heck is wrong with the Raw right now. So if you got thoughts about it, drop it in the Mega Maniacs group, tweet to us at Raw Post Show, and join us live next week, where we'll try to analyze that more and maybe talk more about potatoes. We'll see how it goes. Until next week, folks, for Drew White, for Steven Wago, for Tony Mango, for Tater Tots, for all the people out there listening, my name is Mike Payton, and we'll catch y'all on the flip-flop.